This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. The Roster Report Podcast is presented by Sullivan Tire and Bridgestone Tires. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Sullivan Tire Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, February 15th. Love is in the air here at Gillette Stadium. It's the day after Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Love is still in the air.
That's between you and...
For another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast presented by Sullivan Tire. I wonder if tires were a big Valentine's Day gift this year. How do you think that would go over? Honey.
Honey, get you some new radials. I'll give you some tires.
Not a lot going on here at Gillette Stadium. We are coming up on, obviously, the NFL Scouting Combine next week in Indianapolis, where Paul Perillo and myself will be holding down the fort, covering everything from an NFL perspective and, more importantly, from a Patriots perspective. And I urge you to follow us on Twitter, at Jumbo Hart to get me, and at PFW Paul for Paul. And also,
I
obviously,
might have some Northeastern tweets to send out. You never know.
Also, the PFW blog and Patriots.com. Patriots Today will be in the house with Brian Lowe, so you'll have video updates. We will be calling in next Thursday to the PFW in Progress radio show for some audio updates, and you will have written updates out the wazoo.
The most comprehensive Patriots coverage of the Combine.
Award-winning.
Without question.
It's our award, but we won it.
We gave it to ourselves.
It says something. We like us.
Because no one else cares.
But the news of the day, which has created a little hubbub on the Twittersphere, the Twittersverse, or whatever you want to call it, is Charles Woodson, let go or about to be let go by the Green Bay Packers, the superstar defender, you know, defensive player of the year type candidate in his heyday, is being let go, was scheduled to make $9 million this year, which is a lot of money, and apparently the Packers decided beyond his value at this point. So immediately you get the questions, well, should the Patriots be interested? The Patriots need a safety. They need defensive backs. You know, should they be interested? Should they throw his hat into the mix with an Ed Reed-type signing? Should they go the veteran route? You know, one discussion on Twitter, I saw our friend Greg Bedard from the Boston Globe discussing the safety position, and he believes that Tavon Wilson should be the strong safety. That should be plan A heading into next season. He needs to make a big year two jump, but that he and Devin McCourty at the safety spot would be a formidable duo. You would then leave Steve Gregory as a backup. Shouldn't forget Gregory. He is sort of the starter, at least incumbent starter, until they replace that with somebody else. Paul Perillo, let's jump off our off-season of free agent talk and speculation that we sort of started last week talking about franchise tags. Nothing in the defensive backfield really going to be affected by the franchise tag.
Nope.
Unless, I guess, Talib, certainly at corner, but nothing at the safety position. Do you think there is a chance that a big-name veteran such as Charles Woodson or Ed Reed could or should be considered and could or should be brought in?
Well, I think there are options. You know, I know that Ed Reed has been the guy that has dominated the topic of conversation.
I read his name a lot.
Yeah, I know you like those witty little puns, Andy, but I am not the huge advocate of bringing Ed Reed in. I know I'm in the minority on this. I love Ed Reed. I think he's a terrific player. I have all the respect in the world for the career that Ed Reed had. I just don't think he's that guy anymore. On one hand, I would be intrigued by the impact a guy like that might be able to have. And I would put Woodson in the same kind of category. Mm-hmm. Just a really, really solid veteran locker room presence, good leader, always been highly thought of. In Green Bay and in Baltimore, those two guys are revered.
Reed, a former truly elite athlete.
Yeah, I think both of these two guys make a lot of sense for what they might be able to provide you off the field. I'm not sure Reed does on the field. Woodson I'm not as familiar with, though. I know Woodson's had a boatload of injuries in recent seasons, but it wasn't that long ago that he was the player of the year. Not sure if he can get back to that level. Probably not. But just to use these two guys, Reed to me is not the guy that used to be able to just play deep center field better than two guys could play the deep part of the field, like Bill Belichick used to say. I do think that he still occasionally can come up with a play or two here or there, but I think he's really lost a significant step, and he's not the cover guy that he once was. He is pretty physical for a free safety type. He likes to throw his body around. I'm not going to be upset if they bring in Ed Reed. I just don't think it's a priority to bring in him the way a lot of other people do. I would rather go a different route, maybe go a little bit younger in free agency or to the draft. I think the secondary is an area that, just to foreshadow a little bit of what we're going to talk about, Andy and I are going to do our debate Friday this week, our Samsonite Make Your Case, which has not been finished yet, but that's where we're going to look at is what we are hoping to get in the draft. And I think it's got to be defense, cornerback, and Andy thinks wide receiver. But somewhere back there, I think there are some younger options than Ed Reed or Charles Woodson.
Some of those options, obviously the kid out of Texas, Kenny Vaccaro, is considered a first round, the only first round safety early on from our friends at NFL Draft Scout.
And not necessarily thought to be around when the Patriots are taken.
And that tends to happen. When there's only one guy in a round, he really doesn't usually last till the very end. Matt Elam, a kid out of Florida, is in a group of second round type talents. But I would ask you, and this is something, again, that Bedard has sort of been tweeting about and getting questions about, and I think it's a common question is, what type of safety the Patriots need? What type of defensive back they need? Do they need a bigger-bodied, strong safety? LaRon Landry is a free agent, is a bit of a bigger guy, even though he's a very athletic guy. Are they looking for a thumper, as Rodney Harrison said, a Bernard Pollard type, somebody to lay the lumber, maybe set a tone? Or can you, in this day and age, or do you want to, in this day and age, get by with two free safety types? And maybe Tavon Wilson is enough of a in-the-box presence, with air quotes around it, to be that other safety. Philosophically speaking, Paul, share your thoughts.
Well, it's a difficult question. I personally think you can get by with the two free safety types. I think you disagree, and we can talk about it a little bit. It
depends who they are, yeah.
I understand Rodney Harrison's quote about the thumper, and certainly that was the kind of player Rodney was too, so don't eliminate that as being part of his mentality. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure you get away with that anymore. There's something to be said for a good, we're big on air quotes in this podcast, say the good penalty that Bernard Pollard, might provide every once in a while. He had one in the AFC Championship game where I think he hit Welker, or he might have hit Hernandez. Him and Lewis both got called. Sometimes those penalties are worth the 15 yards, but I think in this day and age, more often than not, those hits are going to be penalties. They're going to err on the side, well, that's a penalty. Looked like a penalty, smelled like a penalty. That's going to be a penalty. So you can have these physical guys, but if you're giving up a lot of free yardage, I think you're going to struggle. I think you might be better off finding a guy who can cover a little bit better than worrying about finding someone who can knock someone's lights out.
But Pollard also had the turnover forcer against Stephen Ridley.
Yeah.
Was the in-the-box
safety on the run game. Yeah, absolutely. This certainly two sides to be weighed.
And what I would argue is another thing that muddies the water is, okay, your free safety, your second free safety was Steve Gregory, if you're of the belief that Devin McCourty is going to stay at safety. Well,
now I think you could do better than Steve Gregory, so that's a different argument.
It doesn't matter whether he's a strong safety or a free safety. If you don't tackle, if you miss tackles, if you're diving at people, it doesn't matter theoretically what your mold is. You got to make plays. And that gets back to sort of our offseason theme of just pure playmakers, guys that can make the play regardless of maybe what their MO is. I am intrigued by the Tavon Wilson thing, and I'm torn as to A, what he is now, and B, what he could be, because he's a guy that started at both corner and safety in college. So you say, okay, he trends towards free safety. He's a cover defensive back as a former cornerback. And yet we saw him struggle mightily in coverage. Obviously, the worst case scenario was the Seattle game where he bid on the double move and game set match Russell Wilson. He has the build, I think. He's got a little thicker upper body. Looks like a guy who might be more...
He looks like Rodney.
Yes. Can he be that? Is that in his nature? And we've seen Bill Belichick use him as the money guy, the linebacker type role in the middle of the defense. So maybe they feel he's trending towards strong safety and maybe giving up his career as a cornerback. Maybe he could put on even, 5 or 10 more pounds, bulk up a little bit more and become that in the box safety, because his physique and his athleticism are intriguing. I just don't know what he is as a football player in terms of actually making use of that on the field.
Yeah. And, Greg Bedard, you mentioned, has been talking about that all day today, evidently. I don't think that should be the plan, to use his
term.
That
seems like B, not A.
That, to me, is an option. It's not a plan.
Yeah.
And I think I would like to improve that situation. You're right. When you started off the whole thing, Andy, about saying, well, it's one thing to have a thumper, but if he's not in position and not making plays.
And if your thumper sucks, you suck.
Right. It doesn't matter if
you have a free safety sucks, you suck.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you have a finesse guy who can't make plays or a thumper who can't make plays. The commonality is they're not making plays. So you need to get better. I think that they need to find an option that's probably a little bit better. Now, I know you like to make fun of me, but I do think that oftentimes this regime, this coaching staff, puts a lot of stock in that year two jump. And we'll see if Tavon Wilson, what I saw in his rookie year, did not show me a guy that was capable of saying, that's the guy, I need to put him next to Devin McCourty and leave those two guys alone. I didn't see that in year one, but a lot can happen between one year to the next.
And as a second-round pick, they have expectations. There's a certain...
They like him, certainly.
Now, Patrick Chung, a name we haven't brought up, who's a free agent, also a second-round pick, who I think everyone is assuming is probably played his last game in New England. And, you know, there are other names. People forget about Josh Barrett, has been on IR for seemingly 18 years in a row, whether it's Denver, New England.
Talk about size, by the way, for that position, but he just couldn't stay
healthy. Now, could
one
of these dark horses, could Chung be back and return to a starting job? Could Barrett, who was a starter the year before last for the first four or five games of the year, could he be the guy? Do they need to go after a big name or a high draft pick, or can you find a guy for that position, I guess would be my question.
I would rather go after somebody than rely on those guys. Certainly, at this point, Chung. I think Chung's sort of time here, I would agree with the consensus. I think he's played his last game. Josh Barrett, only because there's still that tantalizing nature of the unknown. We haven't really seen a lot of him play, but I am intrigued by the fact that in 2011, people forget, he was the starter coming out of camp.
And they cut my guy. And
yeah.
The other guy, the Pro Bowler,
Merriweather and Sanders, and they thought Josh Barrett was better. And unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to prove that because he got banged up right away. I think he only played in four or five games, went on IR, gets banged up again this year in training camp, ends up on IR. When we got him originally,
he was on IR.
He was a guy who was on IR, and they were waiting to put on IR, much like we got Jake Ballard in waivers when teams couldn't put them on injury reserve quite yet. So at some point, you might just say, well, he's too injury-prone for us to rely on. He can't be the plan either, but maybe he's an option. You know, maybe Josh Barrett's an option. To me, Patrick Chung is not an option at
this point. Okay, so as we wrap this up, give me your best-case scenario plan. Do they take a guy maybe with their second-round pick, or do they sign a free agent?
My best-case scenario would be to take a guy high in the draft, first or second-round pick. That would be my plan.
So year,
and that's what I'll be
second
writing.
Second year in a row, they take a safety in the second round, is that, or for even the first round maybe, if you can sneak one in there that you like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they look at Wilson. Listen, I'm not giving up on Wilson. I think that he could be certainly – we've been talking about this a lot. They've used a lot of these picks on defensive players, and the hope is when you get 4 or 5 years in, you have out of those 15 guys that you picked, five of them are key members of your nucleus. Maybe Tavon Wilson's 5 years from now a key member of your nucleus. Looks like Devin McCourty is. Looks like Gerard Mayo is. You know, looks like Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower will be.
Looks like Patrick Chung and Ron Brace and Terrence Wheatley aren't.
Right. So that's what you know, you're not going to hit on all of them, but that would be what I would want to do. I your word of playmaker. I know that you know we've sort of taken over PFW in progress by saying you know it when you see it. Mm-hmm. You know when a guy can make an impact on a game. I don't think they have enough guys on defense that can make an impact on the game. I want to find one in the draft.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. They need playmakers. They need more playmakers in the back end. I'd like to see a strong safety, somebody that can lay the lumber, a hitter back there. I don't know where they get it, whether it's free agency or the draft. I want a hitter. I'm with Rodney a little bit. I want somebody to set a tone.
What
not
do you
only
think
with
Golson, Deshaun Golson?
I think he's overrated and he would cost too much. I'm not really all that interested in him.
I sort of agree.
But I'd take him as a player, but I don't think
Your Michael Holley for
my Michael Holley. If I can get him for the veteran minimum, I'd take him, but I wouldn't invest too much in him. Next week, we'll be at Indianapolis at the Lucas Oil Stadium something club where they hold the combine. We'll be doing interviews. There will not be a Roster Report podcast because we'll be hitting you up from Indy. We'll catch up a week after that. Big news to keep an eye on, though, on the blog and on Twitter, the status of the Patriots franchise tag, what they'll do with it, who they'll lay it on,
Monday,
if anybody.
Right? Is the first day?
Yes, and then also could be contract negotiations with other guys that don't get tagged, whether it's Vollmer, Welker, Tlaib. Stay tuned. Patriots.com, at PFW Paul, at Jumbo Heart. We'll have it all for you from Indianapolis. Seems like we're there more often than our own homes the last couple of years. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. Talk to you next week. No, 2 weeks from now on a Patriots.com Roster Report podcast presented by Sullivan Tire. Peace out. But no, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality. This has been the Sullivan Tire Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com.
Bridgestone Tires, available at over 60 Sullivan Tire locations across New England. Visit SullivanTire.com/Bridgestone today.